our ears to hear your voice, and our hearts to know your love. Amen. To start with, I want you to picture the scene from that gospel reading today. At the side of the lake, those crowds have gathered. They have found out where Jesus is, and they are coming for him. And there are so many of them because his fame as a healer has spread far and wide. All have come hoping to be healed. So many that Jesus needs to find a boat and gets into it so that he won't be crushed. It actually uses the word crush. What a powerful word. I don't know how you feel about it, but that word crush brings out quite a visceral response in me at the moment. The idea of being surrounded by that many people pressing in on every side is not something that makes me feel at all comfortable. I remember once going to Glastonbury Festival many years ago before I had children and liked a warm bed to sleep in. And it was the last year that the fence was so easy to get over without paying to get in, that far too many people were on the site. And in going from one stage to another, we found ourselves in a crush of a crowd. It was actually really scary. We found we couldn't get out of its way. The only thing that we could do was to put all our effort into keeping our feet and staying upright. I dread to think what would have happened if we or someone else had fallen. Indeed, I remember John reaching down and pulling someone up off the ground. It is not an experience that I ever want to repeat. And only this week, I had quite the opposite experience. I took myself out of the house on my daily walk, and I found myself walking through Gloucester Quays and across Lampany Bridge to the other side. And as I walked up that stretch of road and past those restaurants, past Bill's and TGI Fridays, there was nobody there. I don't just mean it was quiet, there weren't many people around. There was nobody. I have never, ever, in all the years I have lived in Gloucester, seen it that quiet. It was like a ghost town. I guess people are actually listening to the government advice and staying at home, which is a good thing. But nevertheless, it is a surreal experience. And as I walked, I found myself comparing it to what it's usually like when I'm there. Normally, it would have been busy with people meeting their friends, eating in restaurants, just walking around and enjoying the environment, tourists, locals, and people of all ages. But I found it really hard to imagine what that would feel like now. It's been such a long time since I've been down there and it's been like that. I imagine that when we eventually get back to a time when we're able to go out like that again, it will take many of us quite some getting used to. So back to Jesus and the crowd at the lakeside. And all these people are pressing in, pressing around Jesus and seeking one thing and asking one question. When are you going to heal me? When's it my turn? When can I be made better? You can sense the anticipation in the crowd, the hope and the desperation, the pushing and the shoving to make sure you don't miss out on your chance. You don't get pushed to the back. For me, that scene at the lakeside has really resonated this week with our time of COVID. The cry on the lips of many of us and the cry of my own heart. When will I get the vaccine? When can I go back out for a meal? When can I see my friends? When can I hug my grandparents and my grandchildren? When can we go back to church? When will the children go back to school? When will life go back to normal? Because it seems to me that this lockdown, number three, seems to have bitten deeper. People seem tired and generally quite despairing. And it's not a surprise. It's been a long and hard slog for most people. So when I turned today to looking at our psalm, Psalm 40, I was really pleased to find that it picked up on this same sense of desperate longing and waiting. The last verse of the psalm reads, "O my God, my helper and deliverer, make no delay." And I think it's those lines that come out the strongest, really, from the piece of music we heard just now before the gospel. It was a version of Psalm 40 by the band U2. And in it, we hear all that sense of longing as Bono sings the repeated refrain, "How long? How long? How long?" I wonder if you picked up the link between the psalm and the music as you listened. To be fair, it wasn't necessarily that easy because the reading that we had from the psalm is actually only part of it. But I think it is well worth hearing in its entirety. "I waited patiently for the Lord. He inclined to me and heard my cry. He drew me up from the desolate pit, out of the miry bog, and set my feet upon a rock, making my steps secure. He put a new song in my mouth, a song of praise to our God. Many will see and fear and put their trust in the Lord. Happy are those who make the Lord their trust, who do not turn to the proud, to those who go astray after false gods. You have multiplied, O Lord, my God, your wondrous deeds and your thoughts towards us. None can compare with you. Were I to proclaim and tell of them, they would be more than can be counted. Sacrifice and offering you do not desire, but you have given me an open ear. Burnt offering and sin offering you have not required. And then I said, here I am. In the scroll of the book, it is written of me. I delight to do your will, O my God. Your law is within my heart. I have told the glad news of deliverance in the great congregation. See, I have not restrained my lips, as you know, O Lord. I have not hidden your saving help within my heart. I have spoken of your faithfulness and your salvation. I have not concealed your steadfast love and your faithfulness from the great congregation. Do not, O Lord, withhold your mercy from me. Let your steadfast love and your faithfulness keep me safe forever. For evils have encompassed me without number. My iniquities have overtaken me until I cannot see. They are more than the hairs of my head, and my heart fails me. Be pleased, O Lord, to deliver me. O Lord, make haste to help me. Let all those be put to shame and confusion who seek to snatch away my life. Let those be turned back and brought to dishonor who desire my hurt. Let those be appalled because of their shame who say to me, aha, aha. But may all who seek you rejoice and be glad in you. May those who love your salvation say continually, great is the Lord. As for me, I am poor and needy, but the Lord takes thought for me. You are my help and my deliverer. Do not delay, O my God." When we hear that psalm in its entirety, we can clearly tell that this is not the cry of someone in sudden peril, but someone who seems accustomed to the state of ongoing need and despair. And like many of the psalms, there are portions of lament, portions of disorientation. And then there is a reconciliation of thought and circumstance and a reorientation towards God. But when you hear the psalm in its entirety, it feels like it's all the wrong way round because it begins with a sense of reorientation. He writes, "I waited patiently for the Lord. He inclined to me and heard my cry." The problem is behind. God has come to the rescue, and yet, by the time you get to verse 11, the psalmist cries out, "Do not withhold your mercy," and we are plunged back into that sense of need and longing and disorientation again. The psalmist here is credited as King David, and what's he doing? He is recalling the desperate times before in his life when God has already come to help him. He's looking back at his past experience of walking with God for comfort in his current situation. Because David's life was not any different to ours in many ways. Life, it seems, is full of problems. There are good times, but there are plenty of bad times too. And clearly, God does not always cure all ills once and for all. We only have to look at our own lives and the lives of those around us and the state of the whole world to know that. But that doesn't mean we have to despair. In fact, this psalm says quite the opposite. So what help and salvation and solace can we expect to find? I think it's quite a subtle comfort. It's not always the healing and the fix that we are longing for in our lives, but we are given the consolation that God will never let us down, ever. His presence is in our lives and in our thinking. It's like, as the psalmist says here, he set my feet upon a rock, making my steps secure. He put a new song in my mouth, a song of praise to our God. And I think really what David is getting at there is that the sense that no matter what is wrong in our lives, and life can get very dark indeed, that there is always room for thanks and gratitude and praise where God is concerned. The psalm promises that our God puts a new song into our mouth. Into our mouth that is busy pouring forth pain and longing, God puts a new song, a song of gratitude and praise. And that is not to say that we shouldn't ever express our sorrows, because that's absolutely right to do. But perhaps while we're doing it, we might consider the difference between lament and complaint. And the psalmist goes on in verse 6 to say that sacrifice and offering you do not desire, burnt offering and sin offering you have not required. Because David, it seems, has come to understand something that many of us struggle with. More pious behaviour, more prayer, more church attendance, more good deeds will not guilt God into helping us have a happy life. Because we can't bribe God. Problems and troubles are not a punishment for bad behaviour. And good behaviour will not keep them all at bay. But you have given me an open ear, says David. You have opened my ears that I can hear your voice, and hearing your voice is what puts the new song in my mouth, because I know that you are with me. Verse 4 in this translation reads, happy are those who make the Lord their trust. That word happy is tricky, I think. In modern days, we have all sorts of thoughts about what it is to be happy. I suggest, and so do many others, that we might better translate that word as content. Because that is sometimes the only place we have to go in our lives when circumstances really cannot be changed. Perhaps finding some contentment where we find ourselves is what God gives us the strength to do, and part of the new song that God puts into our mouth. The psalmist says, here I am, in verse 7, acknowledging that sense that it is in this place he finds himself. These are the circumstances. Let me find you, God, in this place and all that I am going through. And David continues. He continues to tell us that he has told the glad news of your deliverance. He has not restrained his lips and not hidden his saving help within his heart, but spoken of God's faithfulness and God's salvation. Because what he has done is that he has taken his experience of the presence of God and has gone and told others how God has affected and improved and helped and supported his life. And that's what I've done a lot of. It's what Ruth is here for. As we have told you so many of the places that we have each encountered God in our lives and in our difficult times. But it is not only our job. It's a job that you can all do for each other. Remember the phrase, tell your story. Because we might find that, like the psalmist, it is always worth looking back at where God has been and telling others about it so that they might know where to look in the future. Because when things get really, really tough, we sometimes need someone else to carry that sense of longing and hope for us. I'm reminded of one of my favourite hymns, Brother, Sister, Let Me Serve You. And one of the lines says, I will bear the Christ-light for you in the night time of your fear. I will hold my hand out to you, speak the words you long to hear. Because trusting God in the darkness of life is not easy. We need companions on the road, and we often need to help each other to be able to say and to believe, like the last verse of our psalm, I am poor and needy, but the Lord cares for me. You are my helper and my deliverer. Oh my God, make no delay. Because when we do that, we start to set our feet upon the rock and find ourselves on solid ground with God, where we might find a measure of contentment that turns out to be a healing in itself. Amen.
Amen.